whole street get wet. Action from all the way down.
All right, before we actually start with questions and all that, it's very important housekeeping matters. We don't consent to searches.
I don't consent to searches.
Number two, am I being detained or am I free to go?
Am I being detained or am I free to go?
Last, I can't let you in without a warrant.
I can't let you in without a warrant.
Oh, that was great. Oh, I'm warm and tingly, and it's not just suburban this time.
My name is Andrew Greenberg. I was a board member of Georgia Normal for a number of years. I've been doing these rights trainings with a number of different groups for a long time. One of the many fulfilling things I find at Dragon Con every year. I want to preface the following discussion with the idea that this is not about keeping you from being arrested. Cops can do pretty much what they want to do and can arrest you. And it is more important, above all else, that you stay alive. So we do say, don't get shot. Do whatever you can to keep yourself alive. You might be arrested. Being arrested will ruin your day, your week, your month. But being convicted will ruin your life. And this is really about working to keep you from being convicted. What we're doing is setting up various layers of defense for you that a lawyer like LC then can then use to get you off from being convicted. So with that, LC.
The consequences of waiving your constitutional rights is what a lot of this was about. There we go. We have constitutional rights. The police know them better than you do. But if we waive them, then whatever happens, happens. And so you don't really want to, and that's the reason the repeating of those three things are very important, because all those are constitutional rights. Being polite is important, and if they are determined to take you down, arrest you, or push their way into your home, don't get in the way, but just continue to politely resist. Physical resistance is, like you said, that's a consequence that is immediate, and it's a non-reviewable discretion, so to speak, for the moment. And the lawsuit is a long ways off while you're sitting there recovering from being beaten or tased or whatever consequence happens at that instant.
And to reiterate what LC just said, these are high-pressure situations. For many of us, they're the highest-pressure situations you'll find yourself in. The police have been through these a million times, drilling them and practice them repeatedly. Very few citizens ever do. That's why we do the repeating of the line, so you can just pull them out of your ass when you need them, and we'll do them again at the end of the show. With that, let's get the questions and discussion. You're not live.
You're on now.
Hey. I'm
not yet.
Trying. Talk loud.
You have the right to remain silent, remember.
Point two. Yeah. Hey, yeah, there we are. Hey. Hi.
Hi.
So it's been a while since I've been pulled over. Since my last police encounter, which, you know, am I legally required to do this? I don't consent, you know, all that stuff. I've discovered the DUI.org placard that you can put on your window along with your driver's license. Has it been successfully used in Georgia that you're aware of? Any pitfalls there? Because I know they can, like, draw blood if they want to. You know, and just do basically whatever they want, right?
No, in
Georgia, no?
No, they can't draw your blood without permission, okay. Except under certain circumstances.
All right.
But implied consent is the law of Georgia. Right. If you are driving, you have implicitly given them consent to test you. Now, that can be the walk the line, look in your eyes, all that sort of thing. You can refuse it, and that means they can take your license away. It doesn't mean they can convict you for refusing, but that means you lose your license. So that's basically the idea. One thing we didn't see in that movie, just talk about traffic stops very quickly. One thing I do recommend is only roll down your window as much as is necessary to give them papers through it. That way there's less ability in court for them to claim that they smelled anything. If you are asked to leave your vehicle, the police can do that, and you don't want to be resisting at that point. Get out and lock the doors behind you. I've had Georgia police tell me that an unlocked car on the side of the road, they are allowed to freely go in. And even if you're standing by it, apparently. So this is what traffic cops here have told me they're trained to do. So lock your car behind you. If you've got a clicker, put it to use immediately. Let's see, what are some of the... And don't give them any more permission to search your trunk or your car. The interior is a less safe place than your trunk. If you are carrying anything you're worried about, if you're into fetish and you have a play kit, the cop only sees that as a rape kit. So keep that in the trunk. I guess that's for pullovers. Next.
If we're pulled over and we have a pistol either in the car or in our pocket, when during the encounter should we tell the policeman about it?
Should and must are two different things. I've had people say this in different ways. I've had police tell me they want to know immediately. I've had other police say, well, if it's not a threat to them, that you don't necessarily want the hassle of having to deal with it at that point. You don't have to. This is, again, you have the right to remain silent. So there's no requirement that you do it. On the other hand, if they find a gun on you at some point...
What if it's obvious that it's gone so far, he's going to either detain you or he's going to arrest you? Should you tell him then before he pats you down?
If you've got it on you, yes. But if it is in your trunk or in your glove compartment, no need to mention it. They may, in the search of the vehicle, find it, but it's not going to be held against you any more than anything else. So if it's on you, though, that puts it within your reach. If it's on the seat, you want to tell the officer. And don't reach for it to, like, you're going to hand it to him. That'll get you shot.
Open carry being so vociferously pushed now, the case law really isn't defined on that right now. Certainly the idea of it being within reach is a dangerous thing. So that is, if a cop sees a gun out there, you're going to have some concerns. But the whole issue of open carry now, especially in Georgia, it just hasn't been pushed to where we expect to be pushed in court. So it's still a nebulous zone. What do you have to say? You have the right to remain silent. What's good to say on that? It's up for your decision.
Keeping it in your glove compartment and in your trunk is not a concealed weapon, but keeping it under your seat is, and that's one of the most common ones they then charge you with.
And remember, you don't want to be the guy in Florida who's in an accident and shoots himself at the same time. So I just think the idea of a gun in your pocket when you're driving puts you at risk, period. And I did have a friend have his jaw shot off by the gun that was in his car.
Jesus.
So,
wow.
Great musician, no singing, no more.
The majority of what we saw in this video, if not all of it, was geared specifically towards the physical realm. And I know a lot of people that are in attendance on the EFF track are very concerned about their digital rights when talking about interactions with law enforcement. So are there any additional kind of rules of thumb that we should operate by that weren't covered in this video that would cover us when we're concerned about electronics, our cell phones, our rights to search and seizure and digital world?
Where were you this morning when we did what to do if police want to search your electronic device? It's awesome.
Not here.
You didn't have to. You only had to be up at 10 a.m. on Sunday at Dragon Con. Come on. You want to jump on that one first, Elsie? You want me to jump on?
Go ahead.
All right. So Riley versus California has pretty much defined that in the Supreme Court decision that police do not have the right to just look through your cell phone like they did in that one. Doesn't mean they're still not going to do it. I am a strong proponent of phone locks. And as I said earlier this morning, if you're using a pattern, at least 8 points on it and clean your screen, because I can tell my friends marks from their grease swipes. So yes, police need a warrant to search your phone, just like they need any other warrant. The warrant has to be specific what they're looking for, but that doesn't mean they're not going to do it. And the other thing I strongly recommend is don't keep anything that can be incriminating on your phone. If you're into age play, none of those photos go on your phone. Doesn't matter if it's illegal. As they talked about this morning, there's a 17-year-old who's being tried as an adult for having naked pictures of himself. Fingerprint sensor, very important. Another point, biometrics, those are not considered electronic devices. So if you have a fingerprint protection, biometric, those don't have the same protections as a lock, a code, etc.
Not a product of the mind.
Okay.
Virginia, anyhow, I understand if you get pulled over that they say they can search your vehicle because driving is a privilege, not a right. How do you handle that? Is there, can they take your license if you don't allow them to search your car?
Searching your car is not covered by the implied consent doctrine in Georgia. Your car, they need permission to search it unless they have a, let's say, there are a number of reasons when they can search it. Something's in plain view, imminent danger, something's been destroyed, et cetera, et cetera. But if they have to ask, and this is a big rule of thumb, if police ever have to ask for a search, they don't have the right to do it. So just, I don't consent to, and I, they say I don't consent to searches. I say I don't consent to any searches, because I've heard police say, well, he didn't consent to a search of the car, so I searched him, and he didn't oppose me when I searched him. So be clear, I don't consent to any searches.
All right, so two quick questions. One, I live in Florida, so I don't know.
I'm sorry, Florida man.
Yeah, too poor to move to a state. So in Florida, I don't know if it's, if someone stops you, an officer stops and say, hey, show me ID, do you have to give up a license or something, or can you just use your name? The other question is, okay, so in the video, the person's always asking, hey, am I free to go? And conveniently, there's 20 people with cell phones filming it. If you're in the middle of nowhere, can't really keep using that, can I, am I free to go? Because in the middle of nowhere, with my luck, it'll be the one cop that says, no, you're not. What do I do when it's he said, she said?
Don't know Florida law, but it is very similar. If they're going to detain you, if you, the reason you keep repeating that is to keep them from taking your silence as permission. And so you just keep saying it is the only real defense you have that can be used later on if they violate your rights. You know, the thing about police behavior is that at that moment, they've got all the power at that moment to do whatever they want. You don't want to resist, but you want to continue to make a record as best you can that you are not consenting. No resistance, but no consent.
Yeah, and now as far as giving them your license, in Georgia, again, implied consent means they get to look at the license if you're driving. On the other hand, if you're on the streets and they ask you to identify yourself, the law is very vague. It's actually part of the loitering standard here in Georgia. And just the fact that you don't identify yourself makes you, it's actually, the term is alarm. You're becoming alarming, and then police can detain you for loitering. So in your car, you must show the ID. If they just ask you somewhere, the law is not clear. Right now it just says you have to identify yourself. Kind of up to you how you do it and what you think is going to make it less alarming of a situation. And as LC said, that whole phrase, am I being detained or am I free to go, sets up a number of levels of defense for you. And yeah, it's going to be cop's word versus yours, but at least you've set this up. And who knows who's got a body cam and is recording at that point anyway that you can request it later on.
The Russians have so much trouble that they all have cams in their car now just because of the police abuse.
Well, and to make money on YouTube.
Well, yeah.
Again, my question is, I live in Cobb County and they have this...
I'm so sorry.
How many in Cobb County? Half the room? Yeah.
We have code enforcement, so do I treat the code enforcement the same way as police officers, or do I... Or do they have some sort of...
So like restaurant, health inspectors, that sort of thing, code enforcement, zoning
more
codes?
Like property code enforcement. Like, do I not let them in? Do
now
I...
remember, in a public establishment, you do have some less rights. And again, they're the ones licensing you. So
like private property.
Oh.
My house.
Are you, well, most counties have requirements about how you keep your yard up and if you've got abandoned automobiles on your property and somebody makes a complaint. And so if they come out for things like that, it's usually outside the home. And so it's in plain view, and so their searches are not really something that you can do much about. But if it has to do with the inside, they're not allowed to just come into your house to inspect your house to see if it meets health codes or if your plumbing works right or anything like that. They have to have a warrant to come in for that too.
Now, there are some inspections that you have to have in order to do certain things. Like if you are doing a home business, if you have a salon in your home, suddenly there are inspections you have to open it up for to have that privilege. But just having a house, no. Again, you're protected by all the same rights you have otherwise. I do want to talk about the plain view rule. They mention it here. Keep this in mind. Anything a cop can see, they can then act upon. So if there's a plant of some kind growing in your backyard or someone left shotguns in the backyard, they can act upon that.
Now, I do not know if this is true, but I have heard that you have to explicitly state Miranda when you are arrested. Is that true?
No. If you're being interrogated, if you're being questioned, that's what Miranda's about. I don't know how many millions of times I've had clients come in to me and they say, oh man, we got this case. They didn't read me my Miranda rights when they arrested me. Well, did they question you? No. It's irrelevant. Miranda has to do with their questioning of you and the failure to provide those warnings. And that's is so heavy. That's one of the reasons they have you usually sign, not just say it to you, but have you sign something so that you have had your Miranda rights. And that's when they want to interrogate you. Otherwise, they usually don't bother. But a lot of times, people don't think about this. They will say things casually to a police officer, sometimes because they're trying to get out of the situation or deflect the officer's interest. And so when you start talking, you have waived your Miranda rights. So shut up.
Yeah. And you do have to say, I'm going to be silent. You can't just be silent.
Right.
You have to say, I reserve the right to be silent. I want to talk to her.
Affirmatively insist on your right.
And if you do talk to the cops, never lie. Never lie.
That is a separate crime.
Yeah. And
in most states.
I can't believe I'm blanking on her name. House and Homes Guru. What was her name? Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart, yeah.
She went to jail not because of the stock fraud, but because she lied to the cops about it. Never lie to the cops. Just shut up.
All right, I have two questions. One was a follow-up to what you said about the digital rights. So if I've got a fingerprint lock on my phone, that's not protected? So for example, if I got pulled over and they said, hey, you were texting on your phone, let me see your phone, could they force me to put my fingerprint on it to open it up?
It's a new area. It's unclear. I would say no, and I would refuse, and you may become the test case. You couldn't be any worse off if you've got something on there that you're concerned about.
Here's the difference. If they ask you for your code and you keep silent, you're defended. If they can hold it up to your finger and put your finger on it, you don't have that defense.
And you can't just say, I don't want to do that. They're just going to stick your finger on it.
Probably. Yeah, and then you'll be the test case.
Right. All right, thanks. The next one was a lot in the video and some of the examples you guys are talking about. The answer is a lot, it depends. It depends on the situation, that sort of thing. So for example, like entering your home for a search, you know, it depends. What's some of the things, just a couple, I know it's kind of hard to answer that, but what's in that realm? What are some?
One of the biggest areas right now that is of a lot of concern is the collision between our concerns for domestic violence cases and our rights to privacy. If your neighbor hears a ruckus or doesn't hear a ruckus and just calls the police and says they heard a ruckus, the police come, they've got more rights to get into your house than they would in almost any other circumstance, because we have, with the domestic violence statutes, to try to help people in these situations, we've given the police a very dangerous free pass on getting in and finding out what's going on. I always tell people, you know, first thing you do is take the gag out of the girl's mouth when they want to come in for a domestic violence question. Untying her might take too long, but at least take the gag out.
So the home is your safest place. There are some very well-defined areas right now that where cops can come in if they've got the warrant. And most warrants require a knock unless they've got a specific no-knock warrant. And actually, no-knock's a really weird thing in Georgia because there's actually no standard for no-knock. By most calculations, no-knock is actually illegal in this state or not permitted. Doesn't mean it's not happening. But there's no actual statute for no-knock. If police see something in plain view, if there's a threat of imminent danger, or if there's a threat that evidence is about to be destroyed, they can use those as reasons to enter a home and have what they search for be held up. Remember, in most of these cases, the idea is if they come in, and they might come in, the idea is to get it thrown out. If a roommate lets them in, or a roommate says they can come in, they can. And what he was talking about, domestic abuse. If one person is standing there saying, no, you can't come in, and another person is saying, yes, you can, the cops can come in. And that comes out of domestic abuse, and we can pretty well see why that's happened. So, again, then after this all happened, you assert your rights not to be searched, they come in, then you find LC and take care of it on the backside.
Any kind of examples for that sort of thing with your car or your phone?
Well, remember, plain view includes smells. So that if they come to your door and they can smell pot, then they've got a
Or they say they did.
Or they say they did. And the same with your car. And if they hear things, you know, they may or may not have actually heard it, but it sounded like a scream to them, and so they come barging in. But most examples, the police officers are going to be at least respectful initially. And you can just stand by your rights. Don't remain silent, but except for saying don't come in. I'm not waiving my rights.
If you're having a party, especially a party where you go dressed like LC, lock the doors, lock the back door.
Yes.
Make sure people know who's allowed to let people into the party, and make sure you're friends with your neighbors.
Yeah, that's a biggie, because neighbors cause people to be searched more than almost anything else, I believe. Their complaints, especially repeated complaints, you start having neighborhood squabbles, and that neighbor is going to get you turned over to the police multiple times if you're not careful, and there's not much you can do about that. Just move.
Next question.
Okay. In the state of Georgia, especially in our area, they love to run, during spring break and stuff, drug checkpoints. DUI checkpoint. I mean, what is your option there when they're randomly picking every 10th car, saying we want to search every 10th car, every 20th car, every whatever?
They don't get to search a car. I mean, they search a lot of cars simply because people don't assert their rights. But if you say, no, you can't search my car. Here's my driver's license. Here's my proof of insurance if you need that. I just discovered... A girlfriend of mine just drove to Tennessee, and she didn't have her insurance card in her car, because here in Georgia you don't have to. But in Tennessee, even if you're from Georgia, they give you a ticket for not having your insurance card on you. So when the insurance company gives you that card, definitely keep it in your car, even if you're not required to show it.
What if they say the dog hit on your car?
That is a real problem. Dogs,
false positive,
dogs definitely have the positive ability to detect the smell of certain drugs. But unfortunately, an awful lot of officers have little things that they do to signal their dog to find a positive, and then they go from there. If they're suspicious, they'll a lot of times use that, and it's hard as hell to prove in court that dog did not smell something.
That they forced it. Yeah, okay, so there are a few different issues being dealt with here. First of all, keep in mind, there is no such thing as a DUI checkpoint or a drug checkpoint. The only thing they can ask you for is your ID. Those are really ID checkpoints.
Right.
So once you've handed them the ID, they need suspicion to search. The whole question of dogs is still up in the air, but there's a growing body of case law saying they can't just bring a dog over to start searching your car unless they have some kind of suspicion. What they showed in there, the dogs will tear up your car. That is a frequent one that they'll use to act with it. You refuse searches. There is, the question often is, how long are they allowed to detain you there while they try and get the dogs? The law is really vague on this, but generally it's taken into account that they cannot detain you longer than an average traffic stop. I don't know how that long that is. Cops don't know how long that is, but that becomes part of your defense. When you get LC, they detain me too long without probable cause.
Unfortunately, that varies from judge to judge and county to county. I had one up in Gainesville where the guy sat there on the side of the road for an hour and a half waiting for the damn dog to get there. And he was late for work. I don't know if he finally lost his job, but he was getting close to it anyway. But he had to sit there on the side of the road for an hour and a half simply because he refused to let them search the car, but they were suspicious and they were going to bring the dog.
How the judge rule on that?
Hour and a half was perfectly reasonable in his mind.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of variation.
Not too much in the urban areas, at least, but in the more rural areas, they
need that money.
Well, things move slower.
To get the judges' bonus. Dogs themselves, forced positives, false positives, and forced positives is a major issue, and this is known. Still doesn't mean you can get out of that, but it's something then you can then argue, especially if the dog barks over here and so whatever they found is over there in the car. A lot of discussion about the fact dogs can smell better lower than they can higher. So if they suddenly find something up in the rearview mirror or something and the dog back there, how the heck did it smell it? That was, they really didn't have suspicion, et cetera, et cetera. These are all just things you got to throw at LC for him to take care of after the fact.
So if in the video, the grandma let the police into the house, right? Let's say you have a guest house and you have it sanctioned so that it actually has a separate address. So it's like 1920.5. And if you let them into your main house, can they also search the guest house because it has a separate address?
We've had cases where there have been outbuildings and somebody gave permission to search the home, and then you're allowed, if you give permission to search your home. I mean, we were watching that video, and the grandmother was letting them come in, and then they started getting very thorough in that search. All I was thinking was, she should say, wait a minute, you're getting into my stuff here. I didn't mean for you to do that. I withdraw my consent. You can withdraw your consent. If they just ignore that and keep searching because they think that's suspicious, well, you're going to have to live with that, but we can get that thrown out. But if you let them keep searching, including, for example, if they search the home, you give them permission to search the home, then they start wandering out to the outhouse and you go, oh, wait a minute, I didn't get rid of that body. Well, then you say, no, I didn't get permission to search my outhouse. You can withdraw your waiver of a constitutional right. Once you've waived it, it isn't eternal and forever.
Now, remember, the police will take the broadest latitude with a search permission they possibly can, and they're trained to do that. So if you think you're limiting the scope, don't believe it. Don't play. You're not trained in those games. Police are trained in those games. You might be 100 IQ points higher, but they're trained in it and they're ready for it. So don't play those games.
So my question is searching a car like an all or nothing thing? So if I have some plant material in my passenger seat, they can see it through the driver's window. They search the car, can they search my trunk? Can they search the trailer I'm towing? All of it?
Well, if your trunk is locked, they've got to have your keys. They've searched the interior of the car of your car, and then they say, okay, open your trunk. Well, at that point, you can say, no, I withdraw my permission for you to search. I don't want you going through my trunk. Now, that seems suspicious to them. I always tell people, you know, find your lawyer. And don't just say, my lawyer said. Say, lawyer Lloyd Hall said. And then the police officer has a little more fear that there may be a problem if he moves forward. But if you just throw out that I've got a lawyer or I'm going to get a lawyer, it doesn't seem to slow them down then, but have a lawyer. I mean, you know, lawyers used to charge retainers for you to be able to throw their name around. They don't anymore. If you have a lawyer that you've used before, use that lawyer's name and say, oh, my lawyer said not to let you search my trunk.
I've worked closely with two good lawyers here in town, Winston Getz, David Clark, and they say that they have never lost a driving while intoxicated marijuana case where the people did not give permission, where the people being arrested did not give permission. They say any time that permission's been refused, they have never lost that case.
I was just wondering, you're pulled over on the side of the road, the police decide to search your vehicle anyway. You pull out your cell phone and you're trying to film what they're doing. What rights do you have to your cell phone and to that video?
That's a battleground right now, too. The police have gotten real camera shy, and they have put political pressure on a lot of legislatures to pass laws saying that, no, that's interfering with the police activity, and therefore, you know, you're not allowed to photograph it. Illinois tried to pass that recently. Those are pretty well getting knocked down fast. I don't think that they're going to be able to continue to try to prevent people from photographing everything. The last year is a revolution going on in that regard. They are going to be on film. They're all going to have cameras. You might as well have one of your own because they're going to have one. And it's very, very important that you insist on that. But there has been plenty of cases where they've taken people's phones away from when they were filming, total bystanders. They just walked over and grabbed their phone.
Number one, never go in your pocket without a cop's permission when you've been stopped.
Right.
Nobody, never. If you're going to go in your pocket and there the cops can see you go in your pocket, you get permission before you put your hand in there. Second, as LC is saying, so far these are all, your ability to record is being upheld. And there have been some big lawsuits recently about people who are arrested while filming. They're arrested generally for resisting arrest or interfering. The recent one I read about, $120,000 judgment against the police department for busting a guy for filming. So if you want to make some money, it's a possibility. There is also, the ACLU now has an app where if you film, it can automatically upload it. And yeah. if you wanted a cop video uploaded somewhere, you want it in the ACLU's hands before you want it anywhere else. So if you're really interested in this subject, look at the ACLU app for recording and uploading.
What about their videos? The cop videos?
Well, the cop videos are subject to a demand for production by lawyers, and so they can't just... I got a feeling, though, we're going to see in the future a big argument about... the practice, a lot of businesses, for example, when they're recording filming in their shops, they don't keep the film forever. They record over it every day so that it doesn't last very long. I expect to hear the police claiming that also. Oh, that was recorded a month ago, and it's recorded over now, so we don't have that.
But we still got your LAPR.
One other interesting area we're seeing with recordings, especially of those, are police claims of privacy. In other words, you can't film everything the cop's doing. They don't have to turn over everything that the cop was doing for whatever claims of privacy the cop has. These have not been shuffled up through the cops, through the courts yet to really decide what will happen. But don't be surprised if you ask for, in discovery, production videos and say, sorry, that's protected by the, that's not relevant or protected by the cop's own right of privacy.
Two quick things. One, stops or whatever, but I want to call my husband and feel me with that. That's the first thing. And then the second question is, some years back, we had a friend, just a businessman traveling in a nice car, traveling along on the highway. Police came pulling over, and may have been a more rural area than not found. Was our friend you were speeding, you have two options. You can pay the fine now, which is $100-something or another dollar.
South Georgia.
Or take you to jail, and the, you know, judge, magistrate doesn't come until Monday, so you're going to have to be in jail over the weekend. So our friend paid the fine and went on about his business.
He didn't pay a fine.
I'm sorry?
He didn't pay a fine. He paid the cop.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. So I've often wondered, in that situation, if you're told, you know, pay the money or you go to jail, what do you do? And about your spouse or partner as an attorney, those two questions. Thank you.
It doesn't hurt to reveal that your spouse is an attorney. I mean, there is a bit of, the police don't want to go to the extra trouble and worry about dealing with a lawyer. And if your husband is a lawyer, that's a plus for you. I mean, that means the police realize, oh, you got a free lawyer, not just a lawyer.
90% of cops want an easy conviction. They don't want a hassle. And if you're going to be a tough one, they can spend 5 hours with you and maybe get nothing, or they can spend 1 hour with some idiot who will give them consent. The second part of your question, in Georgia, any misdemeanor can get you in jail. We don't have any of these civil things. I mean, any misdemeanor, even speeding, can theoretically take you to jail. Every misdemeanor in Georgia can be punished by up to $1,000 fine and a year in jail. Now, it's not going to happen 99.9% of the time. but that is a threat police can legitimately use. Paying on the side of the road, it's not going to the county, it's going to the cop. We all know that. There's no setup for that. There's no attempt to... That's not allowed. That's going straight into the cop's pocket.
And if you pay the money, and let's just say the cop stops you down the road a couple of miles or 10 miles down.
Yeah, this is notorious in South Georgia, where the sheriffs run a lot of the counties. This is notorious, and this has been happening for decades.
Well, what should you do? Pay him or go to jail?
It depends what you're willing to do at that stage.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know why the person was pulled over. Wrong person in a nice car. They knew they could shake down for money.
Yes.
Out of state tag. Oh, they love those. Yeah.
So that at that point, it's your willing. And again, we're not stopping police from being breaking the law and being assholes. We're stopping that conviction. If your friend had gone to jail, they certainly wouldn't have been convicted for things like possession or whatever. Speeding, yeah, still a possibility. So,
well, the officer really runs the risk of losing his job.
Yeah, that's when we go back to the recording thing, because if a cop asks, you can pay me now, they are asking for a bribe. No district, no jurisdiction allows that.
Right. It used to be more common. I don't want to give South Georgia too bad a name right now, but, you know, when all the Yankees were heading for Florida and going through South Georgia, it just used to be our way of paying for our local police.
The drive-through
department.
Bank of Mississippi during Mardi Gras time when people go to New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Probably worse.
So record it. There are ways to set your car up easily for recording. That's online. If these are things you're worried about, set yourself up to defend yourself. Oh, and then you will make some money.
I think security is increasingly reporting people for having a single DUI. The conviction. Can I say, don't search me? Can they ask for my immigration papers? What?
Immigration problems run hot and cold. You know, in some areas it's no big deal. In other areas, they've just got to. If you look Latino, they're going to probably insist on checking papers. But there's not any right to check your papers. I mean, that's you can refuse. Even if you have papers, you know, you have a consequence, perhaps being taken down to the jail and then checked. But no, you don't have to produce any kind of papers.
U.S. citizens have a higher level of protection than people visiting the country who are not citizens. On the other hand, you don't have, that doesn't mean just because you're not a citizen, you don't have any rights. So they have the right to, the police can ask for your ID if you're driving. You should give it to them or you lose that ID. And everything else we've talked about is as true for someone who is undocumented. He's not going to say he's undocumented. He's saying he's a citizen at that point. So really, they should go through exactly the same levels of setting up defenses for the attorneys and then hand them to the attorneys to handle after the fact.
You don't want to say you're a citizen because if you do it like
you don't want to lie. Right. You don't want to lie. But you want to go through these same level of things. I don't consent to any searches. Am I detained, officer? Am I free to go? I'm maintaining my right to be silent. I want to speak to an attorney. They can say that just as well as anybody else. And in fact, if those are the only words of English they know, they should. And the ACLU does provide these very handy little cards in English and Spanish. So strongly recommend those. My halo? All right, one last question. Are we done? Your call. One last question. Y'all's call. Who it is?
You guys brought it up, so I felt I should ask. There are a number of stories that have made it to the media about police using flashlights or laser pointers to disrupt either bystanders or people who are under arrest for whatever, of taking films. Are there any defenses against... Go ahead.
Well, the whole use of laser pointers by anyone is getting to be a really shaky area, period. So right now, they've got as much... the cop has as much right to show up a laser pointer as you do. So what right do you have for that? Well, can you shine a laser pointer in somebody's eyes? Can you shine it at an airplane, et cetera? So this is all pretty nebulous still. But I can't think of any reason a cop would not have the freedom to do that, just like you could. Someone's recording you.
If you're talking about a bright flashlight, for example, if it's you're filming them using that bright flashlight to prevent them from being filmed, so it's a suspicious act on their part that you can use against them. And so I just say, you know, we're gonna have to get to that case, but I just say keep filming.
Yeah, and a lawyer like LC will then say it gives a lot more weight to what you say happened than to what the cop says happened.
It's what's called collaborative evidence. Your word is evidence. Your sworn testimony is evidence. And you want to collaborate it when you're being put on a scale with somebody else's sworn words. And so if you've got a film showing them shining a flashlight at your camera, and you say, hey, this is what happened, and they prevented me from filming it well because they kept shining a flashlight in my eye, that collaborates your testimony about what you saw happened.
Do you have to say if you're reporting?
Hmm?
Do you have to declare if you're reporting?
No. No, I mean, you don't have to tell anybody you're recording. If you're in public.
If you're recording the cop in his home, you're on the more shaky grounds here.
But
if you're in a public
Tom.
Place, anyone
peeping
can
Tom.
Record anybody else.
So
I think that's it. Or else they're going to slash my throat. Thank you.